Bonnie, I want to introduce you to my friend, Pastor Russo. Matthew chapter 26 in the Word of God, please. Matthew chapter 26. It's great to be here for the youth rally. Come on now. Hallelujah. Good to be here. And I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Looking forward to a Merry Christmas. Lots going on in your life, and I'm glad that you came here tonight. Appreciate you being here. I did. I've got Jarrett there. Jarrett turned 22 yesterday. He needs a wife. You pray for him. And then Harrison, what are you, 21? You just turned 21. He's a puppy, but he's a senior in college. He needs a wife too. And so you pray for these guys. They're supposed to go out and do something for the Lord, and hopefully they will not be deadbeats. You pray for me because they're driving me home in the morning, and pray that we make it home safely. And our church, I know here in town they've got the parade, and the church here is involved with that. We have our tree lighting. So in the town there, they got a big borough hall, and we get the privilege of putting our young people up on the steps of town hall and singing Christmas carols at the tree lighting. And then Santa comes rolling in on the truck, so we just kind of ignore him. We do our thing. But we get to sing about Jesus before Santa shows up. And it's kind of an amazing thing in our town. I mean, they give us the microphone, and we just do our thing. And so I don't know how long that's going to... And that's in New Jersey. Can you believe that? And we get to do that, and so we thank the Lord. And then our town also has the town tour, and they have this trolley, and it goes around the people's houses and historic places. And our house was built in 1927, and they asked to put our house on the town tour. And we've done that for a few years. So my wife's here. Wait, raise my hand, wife. And this is Miss J, the world-famous Jennifer Clark, and her dog, Rocky. And Rocky is in the car. For those of you that know Rocky, that's our car out there running somewhere with the heater blowing. And he's out there just enjoying life. And so anyway, we have town tour, and our house is one of the stops. So our crew, our daughters, are at home decorating. My wife's been doing it for days and getting things ready. But it's another great opportunity because, you know, normally we're knocking on people's doors. Hey, let us in. They just come into my house. And so it's a great thing to be able to do that, and I thank the Lord. We, as churches, a lot of times we don't get involved in things. I know for a long time in our church we didn't do as much. I was just telling Preacher Russo, you know, looking for these opportunities to connect with the lost people. They need to know we're normal. Most of you are normal. Tell the person next to you, say, you're not normal. Hey, come on now, that's the truth. And some of you did not lie in church when you said that. And so... it is an opportunity to tell people about the Lord. So we're in the month of December and be looking for those what we call divine appointments. Divine appointments where the Lord puts us together. Well, nobody wants to hear about the Lord. Listen, that's not true. There may not be as many as we'd like to see, but sometimes there's more than what you think. And you're looking for the person who's looking for God. And they're out there, and thank the Lord. Brother Seth, thank you for your challenge from the Word of God. And I appreciated it. It's a good thought. It's a good thought. You know, it'd be wonderful if this group here decided 20 years from now we are going to still be together. We're talking about here in this part of the country. Come on, right? And have some people that are in it. And you mentioned the faithful part of that and being in it for the... Y'all behaving over there? Peanut gallery. All right. Don't go to sleep in that corner, Sam. Here we go. We're wanting to make sure that there's some people that are in it for the long haul. I appreciate your faithfulness. It's good to come back. I can't believe it. I was first invited in 2009 to come here. And I believe that was the first year I was here, 2009. Time is just flying along. And y'all are getting old. Absolutely, Brother Cellini, man. Your wife, I saw she had to help you in tonight. And man, we're just clicking right along here. The years are rolling. Say, what's that mean? It means we're getting closer to seeing the Lord. Hey, the veil between here and there is getting thinner all the time. And we're going to get to go and be with Jesus. Thank the Lord. You get to be with Jesus, you never get hungry. Like some of you are right now. Some you teen girls. Yes, that's right. I had three girls. Mine are old now. 26, 23, and 20. I don't even have teenagers anymore. That's amazing. And but my girls, they like to eat. And so I know you girls do. Acting all bashful, Charity. Appreciate your testimony tonight. That was good stuff. thank the Lord, and I can just tell you're hungry. And I was there last night. Absolutely. So anyway, you're going to get to eat in just a little bit, so you'll be all right back there. And we're glad that you're here. How many of you appreciate Walker Bible Baptist and hosting this meeting? Can you give them a hand for the glory of God? I appreciate them and their faithfulness and doing that. And the prayer emphasis tonight, that's good stuff. We need that. Appreciate your youth choir songs and wonderful. And it's just been a good night here, and thank the Lord. And we'll be heading back in the morning, back to get back for all we've got going on. Appreciate you young people. How many of you go to public school? Raise your hand. Let me see. How many to public school? All right. How many of you go to Christian school? And how many of you are homeschool? All right, you homeschoolers, you get that look in your eye. I can tell. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. But most of you started school early this morning, except homeschool. You get up like noon. And, you know, but I appreciate the fact that some of you young people had a long day. But you're young, so you can handle it. Look at this. Like 4 minutes after 8 o'clock, we're rolling. We normally start 7. Yeah, all right. So the extra half hour. I mean, the night is young. And barely after 8 o'clock, and so we're good. And you people, how many of you drove at least an hour? Somebody's, wow, 2 hours? My soul. All right, nobody drove 3, right, did you? I hope not. All right, that's a long time, those of you came a couple of hours like that. So we'll get you home and appreciate you being here tonight. I'm going to pray here from the pulpit. There's a pastor down in Maryland. His name's Pastor Jerry Skinner. And Victory Baptist Church, he is someone who needs a heart transplant. I guess Brother Skinner's probably in his 50s, maybe 40s, late 40s, early, probably 50s. And he was supposed to, they took him up the ventilator. They didn't think he'd make it more than a few hours. And it's now extending and going on. They've actually moved him out of ICU into a regular room, which is a miracle. But he needs a heart transplant, And if you don't mind, I'm going to pray from the pulpit. I'm going to mention his name. Maybe some of you would remember that name. Maybe some of you would choose to pray. We're talking about praying, so maybe we can ask the Lord. How many of you try to remember Brother Skinner through this Christmas season a little bit? Would you just kind of put him on your head and heart and pray for him? If you want to write the name down, that's fine. But Jerry Skinner, and he's a good man and needs a heart transplant. They've got to get the body strong enough to where he can be able to make it through the surgery. And that would be the goal. And they didn't think he'd still be alive now. So God can still do miracles. And I believe that. Appreciate you being here. You young people are wonderful. And we're glad that you're here. And I mean that. I appreciate you being faithful and being part of your youth department tonight. Lord, I pray that you give me help from your word right now. And I pray you give everyone in this room help from your word right now. Lord, I pray you strengthen my voice. I pray you'd help my mind to be sharp. I pray you help me to only say what should be said and not to say what shouldn't be said. Lord, I pray that you would hear the prayers of the people who have prayed for this meeting. And some have prayed at length and repeatedly. Some have skipped some food for this meeting. Lord, I pray that you would help us right now not to waste this opportunity. Lord, many of the people in this room here preaching on a regular basis. And it would be easy for us to just checkbox this service and move on with our lives. But I pray right now that the sweet Spirit of God would take the Word of God and burn it into our hearts. I pray for anyone not saved to be saved. And I pray for everyone who is saved to be helped. I pray for Pastor Skinner. Lord, he needs a miracle. And you're a miracle-working God. So, Father, I pray in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would touch his body and strengthen him and do what only you could do. Lord, I pray you would boggle the minds of those doctors and people that are there. Father, I pray for Walker Bible Baptist, and I pray for the other churches represented here tonight. I pray you bless every single one of these churches. Lord, we pray for this church that was not able to come this evening because of the snow. Please bless those young people and whatever all they'll be doing now. And God, I do pray for this region. I pray you bring revival once again. We know you're able. I pray it would be your will. Pray for anyone not feeling well tonight. Pray give them extra strength. And I pray for anyone who's tired that you give them extra strength. I pray you'd bind our adversary, the devil, the opponent from off of this place. And Lord, I pray you get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. I pray that Christ would have preeminence. We pray in His precious and holy and wonderful name. And all God's people said, amen. Matthew chapter 26, let's pick it up in verse 26. Forgive me for drinking so much water with the preaching. I took some medicine and I'm having to gulp. So if you're thirsty, I apologize. You won't offend me if you go out and get a drink in the middle of the service. Pastor Russo will be offended, but I'll be okay. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26. Let's pick it up together. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Let me remind you, in case you're a new convert and didn't know this, that this was not the literal body of Christ and the literal blood of Christ that he was giving them to drink. There is a false doctrine called transubstantiation. I was in St. Patrick's Cathedral this week. Whoever's running sound, keep me up without a ring. There you go. Don't make me work too hard. Please, sir. Thank you. And listen, I was there and they were having the Mass. Y'all know what the Mass is? How many of you are used to be Catholic? Maybe somebody here tonight, and you are. And here it was, I went to St. Patrick's, and we were there, and I had a group there, and we were going to go and walk around, and they were doing the Mass. And they believe that that wafer turns into the actual body of Christ, and that wine turns into the actual blood of Christ, but that's not what the Bible teaches, all right? We don't drink blood and eat flesh. So that's just a thought, and that's not the message, but I'm just... It's good for young people to learn your Bible. Everybody with me? And you're old enough to be able to learn the Word of God. And hear me on this, tying in with Brother Seth was talking about, you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. That's one reason why people don't last for the long haul, because all they know is what their pastor tells them. And I'm glad for your pastor, and I want you to listen to what he says, but you need to know what you believe from the Word of God. Can you see Jesus here? And he's having what we would call the Last Supper. And he's there with his men, and he's going through this, and he's talking with them, and it was a very sacred time. Whenever your church has the Lord's Supper or communion, whatever it is that you do call it, it's a special time where we're to do it in remembrance of him. And here, he's explaining what was going to happen. And you can see the 11 disciples there. And they're there and they're paying attention. And the ones who love the Lord, which was, 12. And which would have been 11 out of the 12. And they're here and they're listening. And pick it up with me in verse 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be, what's that next word? Offended, because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Now, if you know what's going on here, after the Last Supper, we go out into the Mount of Olives, and there's going to become the arrest of Jesus Christ. And he's then going to go on to be crucified. And so here, he's talking about what's going to happen. And they're going to be there. And the shepherd and the sheep of the flock are going to be scattered. 32, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So they're trying to wrap their brain around all of what Jesus is saying. And he makes clear, after I am risen, that he was going to rise again. And aren't you glad Jesus Christ rose from the dead? And that's what he says. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So they've had the Last Supper, and they're out on the Mount of Olives, and they're being told by the Lord what's going to happen. And this idea that they were going to be offended, or that they would deny the Lord in some form or fashion, it's something they're trying to absorb in their brain. Because they've been with the Lord for all this time. They've been faithful to the Lord. And now he's trying to explain to them, he is explaining to them, the crucifixion and the resurrection and what's going to be happening in the meantime. And they're trying to absorb this and understand this. And then pick it up with me. Peter answered, verse 33, and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now, Peter was type A on steroids. Peter was the guy who was always speaking up. I mean, Peter was definitely swift to speak and slow to hear. And he kind of had that gene. How many of you are kind of like Peter? I'll put both hands up in the air and my foot. Come on, Brother Roscoe, you didn't raise your hand. You got some Peter in your... Come on now. I'm showing respect, but barely. Now listen, here's the thought. Come on, y'all know I'm speaking truth. Here's the thought. Peter just spoke up. Now, Peter's the guy on the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, you got Moses, you got Elijah, you got Jesus. Everybody's glowing, and Peter says, I think it's time to, let's build some tabernacles here. Well intentioned, but the Lord spoke from heaven. This is my beloved son. Peter, shut up, basically, right? But that's just Peter's personality, and I think he was sincere. And here Peter said, time out, Lord, yet will I never be offended. Now, I like the part of it where Peter had a determination not to be someone who denies the Lord. Keep your marker here. We're going to keep coming back, so please keep that marker. And go over to the book of Luke chapter 22, if you would, please. Thanks for turning. Luke chapter 22. Everybody all right? We're going somewhere. Stay with me. Luke 22. Pick it up, please, in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. So this is Peter again, Simon Peter. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. That was one of the quiz questions, I believe. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt deny, that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, he said, listen, Lord, I'm willing to go to prison, if that's what it means. And he said this, I'm even willing to die. I'm willing to die rather than to deny. Now, let me just say to everybody in this room, be determined not to deny Jesus. Everybody with me? Be determined not to deny Jesus. Tell the person next to you together out loud. Ready? Be determined not to deny Jesus. Now, somebody just kind of looking, that's awkward. No, it wasn't. Get back there. I'm going to come right down here to second row. Come on, ladies. Here we go. Ready? Ready? Be determined not to deny Jesus. Philippians 4:13, if you know it, quote, help me, ready? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hey, you don't have to have a prodigal season. You don't have to have a prodigal season. Well, Brother Charlie, you know, it's just time for them to sow their wild oats. Don't sow wild oats, whatever that means. I'm not even sure. But I'm telling you, it's not a good thing. You don't need to have a time where you go out and learn the hard way. You don't need to be the person that comes back later and says, yep, out there in the world, there's nothing. Be smart enough to know and learn from the people who have already gone out there and done that thing that they did that they now have so much regret about. Don't be the person that has to learn the hard way. Every man is my teacher. Sometimes I learn what to do. Sometimes I learn what not to do. Everybody tracking? And so you can learn, and there ought to be inside of us, every one of us, a determination not to deny the Lord. Well, Brother Clark, it's 2019 and almost 2020. whatever that means. And you can't really expect in 2019 these young people not to go off and live for the world for a little while. Oh, yes, absolutely, we can expect you to do that. Why? Because you can. You can. Hey, be determined, young man, not to deny Jesus. Paul said to Timothy, keep thyself pure. Hey, watch this. Purity is possible. Well, it's just so hard for these young people. They, you know, they've got those cell phones. Your cell phone is not a license to sin. Amen. And if you're not handling it well on the ride home tonight, throw it out the van window. Well, I'm just going to do that. Well, you could if you're serious about not denying the Lord, if that's what it would take. And my point would be, hey, you don't have to deny the Lord. You can stand for Jesus Christ. But Charlie, when is it that we deny the Lord? Hey, when we show cowardice about Christ. When we show cowardice about Christ. But Charlie, what do you mean by that? Well, this idea of us not being willing to admit that we belong to Christ. Hey, let me say this. It's a privilege to say these words. I'm a Christian. Oh, do you know what you're saying? When you say I'm a Christian, hey, I'm a Christ follower. I get to be somebody who is following the example, the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, I know Jesus and Jesus knows me. It's good to be saved. Absolutely. But we deny Him when we act cowardly about Christ. We deny Him when we choose the world, the flesh, the devil over the Spirit-filled life. We just talked about that. You can determine not to deny Christ. You don't have to go to the world. You don't have to go to the flesh. You don't have to go to the devil. You don't have to go that path. Determine not to deny Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. Sword drill style. Y'all there? 1 Corinthians. I'm in Thessalonians. That's a problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Pick it up in 12. No, 13. Ready? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is what? Common to man, but, talk to me next three words, God is faithful. One more time, three words. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Young people, listen to me. Whatever the temptation is, there's always an escape route that you can take. Amen. Well, you know, the devil had me cornered. Hey, the devil may try to corner you, but God will always leave an escape route. I'm saying, listen, determine I'm not going to deny my Lord Jesus. He didn't deny me. He died on the cross for me. And I'm going to stand true for the Lord. I'm going to find that spiritual escape route. I want to avoid temptation. I want to be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Determine. Be determined. I'm not going to deny Jesus. Secondly, don't be so proud that you think you're incapable of denying Jesus. Don't be so proud that you think you're incapable of denying Jesus. Please go to Matthew 26. If you held your marker, we're in verse 34. Please notice, Peter in 33 said, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. 35, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Be determined not to deny Jesus. But don't get proud and think it could never happen to me. And I'm not just preaching to the teenagers right now. My dad says this, there's no fool like an old fool. Wouldn't it be crazy? Wouldn't it be terrible if in the later stages of the game, you fouled out? So that's for the older and for the adults. We're back to the teens because it's our youth rally. Hey, young people, listen, I want you to be determined. I'm going to stand for the Lord. I don't want to ever deny Christ. But don't get proud. Don't think I could never deny you. Because watch me, this flesh is capable of anything. Yeah, you think, yep, that person across the room, they really need to hear this. No. If you just had that thought, that's proof evidence you need to be hearing what I'm saying. I don't care how long you've been saved, and I've been saved for 43 years. I'm 51. I got saved when I was 8. So I've been saved a good long time by the grace of God, 4+ decades. Brother Cellini, I'm not above messing up. Now I'm determined not to. And I'm wanting to walk in the Spirit and stick to the Word of God. But I don't want to get proud. I don't want to get cocky. I tell young men who I coach in football, the surest way to lose is to underestimate your opponent. Over and over and over, I've told teams, I've coached for 31 years, the surest way to lose is to underestimate your opponent. And sadly, even as a coach, I can remember times over the course of those 31 years where we came into a game underestimating our opponent, and when time ran out, we had a loss. And it's very upsetting and very frustrating to lose to an opponent that you know you shouldn't have lost to. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He'll always make a way of escape. Don't lose to the devil because you get puffed up and proud. Remember King Herod? He gave an oration in Acts 12. And they said, it is the voice of a God. It is the voice of a God, not of a man. And you know what? He didn't give God the glory, so God let worms eat him. Can you imagine what that looked like? Oh my! Y'all look so wonderful tonight. You're the host church. You sang in youth choir. You ushered at the door. And didn't they do a good job by the grace of God? Thank the Lord for their testimony and what all they did. But listen, don't get puffed up. Come on now. And I'm not suggesting you did. I don't believe their heart's motive is that. But how many of you know, you got to be careful with the heart because it's deceitful and desperately wicked. Listen, Brother Charlie, who are you specifically preaching to? Every single person who's breathing. Every single person who's breathing. Because you got to be careful that you don't get proud. Keep your marker in Matthew 26, but go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We were just there a moment ago. Are you there? Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want you to pick up with me verse 12. And would you read it together with me out loud? Ready? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I'm standing. I'm not denying. You think you're standing? But you better pay attention because you can be very quickly falling. Through the years at camp, we've taken young people skiing. And you get somebody skiing and they start to get really confident. They're going down there, they're just, you know, they're doing their... And here's what happens. If they're not careful, they'll get overly confident. And watch this. Even the best of skiers, if not paying attention, boom, and come rolling down the hill.
Listen. Pride cometh before a fall. So I said, number one, be determined. I'm not going to deny the Lord. But don't be proud to where you think that you can't deny the Lord. Thirdly, are you ready? Everybody good? Tell the person next to you, say, I'm good if you're good. And then tell them again, say, I'm good even if you're not good. Number one, be determined not to deny Jesus. Number two, don't be so proud that you think you're incapable of denying Jesus. Number three, know that the devil wants you to deny Jesus. Luke chapter 22, we were there. Let's flip back there quickly. Aren't you glad you have your King James Bible? Yes, I said King James Bible. Luke chapter 22. I am not going with the trend of thinking we need a new Bible. Just in case anyone is wondering, I don't believe that. And you young people need to know that we have the perfectly preserved Word of God without mistake or error. Amen and amen. Luke 22 and 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, what's the next word? Satan. I hate saying that. Look at me, young people. It's not a cartoon character. He has a name. Are you listening? Back row, y'all listening? Hey, listen. Satan is no joke. Would Jesus lie and create some caricature image? No, 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 no. He called him by name right here and said, Satan hath desired. Think with me. Satan had a desire. Watch me. He was targeting Peter. Satan hath desired to have you. Why? Partly because Peter had that leadership potential. You know why the devil would love to have you young people? Because you have more amazing potential than what you even realize. To be used by God for His glory and for His honor. But you have to know that the devil will target you. That he may sift you as wheat. The devil is no joke. And you need to know that the devil's trying to take you out. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. I think most of you would know a good part of the verse, so we won't turn right now. Yes, we will. 1 Peter chapter 5, back of your Bible. You all there? You there? My man, front row. It's awesome. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. If it's your habit to mark or underline, if you've not marked this one, it's a good one to mark. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. First two words, help me. They said what? Be sober. Next two words said what? Be vigilant. Why? Because your who? Adversary. Who's your adversary? The what? Devil. As a who? Roaring lion. Now if I said there's a lion loose in the building, and it was literal. Oh, come here, kitty cat. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. I'm talking about if there was a real and literal lion in the building, you wouldn't sit here calmly. No, 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 no. You'd be slamming the doors. You'd be running out the door. You'd be out. Some of you would, dude, I'd take them on. No, you're not. If you have half a brain. So some of you probably would try to do that. How many of you think God just makes stuff up? No, no. God that cannot lie said as a roaring lion. That's God's comparison. Walketh about, seeking whom he may, what's that last word? Help me. Devour. You ever seen after a lion has killed its prey on one of these safari type deals? Now, my wife will cry at something like that, where the lion has finally taken down the animal. And you ever watched video with that lion just biting into and tearing apart
and that lion, it'll show with the close-up video, and it looks, and there's blood all over its face. You ever seen that? Just blood all over its face with its big teeth after it's devouring, devouring its prey. I've watched the devil in 30 years of ministry full time, and more than that with part time. But Seth devour a whole lot of people. Don't think it couldn't happen to you. And know that he wants to get you. You say, and this is where young people, you get it wrong. And I love you to death, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You think, no, somehow you're smarter. Somehow you think, so, and I'm not being mean. I love you and I respect you. But you're getting it wrong when you think that you can go against God's law and have it turn out well. A law is something that is true when it comes to one of God's laws. If I stand here and do that, and then if I do this, and if I do this, there's something going on here. It's called the law of gravity. And I could stand here until I die and drop it, and there's not going to be one time when all of a sudden I go to drop and that hymn book just flies across the room. Not one time. Hey, watch this. No exceptions. It's a law of God in the law of gravity. And when you think you can take this book and ignore God's law and all of a sudden you're just going to prosper, you have lost your spiritual mind. It ain't going to happen. And you better wake up to the fact that there's a devil who's trying to destroy you. He can take you out. Through the years, I've done some hunting. I've killed 18 bucks with guns. I've never killed a doe. Nothing against it. I just haven't. And I say that for you girls, all right? I've always killed the man. You know, when I go hunting, I don't announce to the deer that I'm coming. I don't walk into the woods and say, "Hey, deer, I'm here to get you." I don't blow a horn. I don't blow a whistle. When I go into the woods, I'm quiet. Quiet. Hey, watch me. I'm trying not to step on the leaves very loudly. I'm moving slow. I'm not doing... Hey, watch this. I'm not advertising. No. Brother Roscoe, I'm stealth. I'm stalking. I'm going in there. Watch me. In the dark. In the morning. And I'm being as still as I can. And I'm trying to stir things as little as I can. And man, I get to that point. I get to my tree. And I'm climbing up steps. Up into my tree. And you say, "Why are you getting up in the air?" Because I don't want the deer to see me. And I get there. And I get in there quiet. And I got the shells in. And I'm there. And I'm still. And I'm looking. Barely. With my eyes still. My hat's off for about the first minute because I'm praying. And my hat's back on. And I'm there and I'm waiting. It's quiet. Sun starts to come up. Squirrels start to move. I hate squirrels. And they're bouncing around. Sometimes other animals. Sometimes you have one come on your tree. I had a raccoon coming up my tree. I'm like, this is not going to end well for him. It's real quiet. I had a big owl about one or two trees over, probably about two or three trees over, probably about 10 trees over. And I didn't know he was there. And all of a sudden, just, and I about fell out of the tree. So I'm there, and all these animals are doing what they're doing. And you know, those deer wake up, and they're hungry, and they're thirsty. So you know what I hunt near? Food and water. He said, well, that's not nice. They're just trying to eat breakfast. And I'm sitting there. Now, those does and those young deer, they're really dumb. They'll just walk out, do what they do. But I'm looking for one of those big bucks. And that big buck, after those does do what they're doing, they're coming out. Sometimes I'll hear and I'll look and I'll see, and there's a head moving and there's horns. There's antlers. Oh, yes. You know what I do? My gun, something called a safety. Just click off that safety. You know what that means? All I got to do is just pull that trigger. And I'll wait. And I'm praying, God, bring him into me. God, bring him into me. And I don't even take my hat off on that one. Just, God, bring him into me. And I'm there. Now, you young men, listen on this. Some of those old bucks, certain times of the year, they're chasing those does. And it's the one time of the year where they just lose their minds. I said, watch me, they lose their minds. And they'll start coming. And normally they'll be real cautious. But sometimes, hey, watch me, they're just got one thing on their mind. They're not paying attention. And they'll walk and they'll get to that point. And listen, you know when they're doing that? They don't look up to see me. And I'm sure not making noise. And I pick out a target. I move real slow to get that position. My safety's off. I wait for them to turn their head. I don't just shoot in a general direction. Brother Russo, my dad's always told me this. Pick out a spot. Aim for the heart. You know what the devil's doing? He's picking out a spot. He's aiming for your heart. And in the still of that morning with that quiet woods, boom! I pulled the trigger. Hey, watch this. He never saw it coming. Strong, powerful animal. He bit the dust. And it's done. I could start listing the men and women, the teenagers I've known, who were determined to stand. But they got a little careless, got a little proud. Didn't pay attention. They weren't sober. They weren't vigilant. And the adversary, the enemy, the opponent, the evil one came, hey, and took them out. Sad. Tragic. Be determined not to deny Jesus. Don't be so proud that you're incapable, that you think you're incapable of denying Jesus. Know that the devil wants you to deny Jesus. Now listen here, listen here. Don't deny Jesus. You say, well, first be determined. Yeah, but now I'm saying don't do it. Don't deny Jesus. Go to Matthew 26, quickly. If you're there, 57. Matthew 26, 57. I'm not going to go through all of it, verse by verse. But if you pick it up in verse 57, Christ has been arrested. And verse 57, they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas's, the high priest, where the scribes and the Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But, watch this, Peter followed him afar off, under the high priest's palace.
and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Then the beating of Jesus begins. And they beat him at Caiaphas' house. How bad was it? Terrible. 67. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee?" Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel. Do you understand the Bible? A damsel is a young unmarried lady. Here's Peter, the strong fisherman. And a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." But, the next two words, he denied. Before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him. And said unto them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee." Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. Here it was. Exactly what the Lord had said. That Peter was so determined not to have happen. And it happened. Three times he denies. Young people, adults, think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about what he's done for you. And whatever it is that the world, the flesh, and the devil is offering, turn the world, the flesh, the devil down and don't deny Jesus. Know how much he loves you. Understand what he's done for you and don't deny the Lord. Don't do it. Don't deny Jesus. Think about his suffering. But Charlie, why did he deny the Lord when the Lord was suffering? Because he was afraid of suffering for the Lord. Hadn't he said, "I'll go to prison with you. I'll die with you." So here it is, Christ is arrested. Was he willing to go to prison with him when push came to shove? No, he wasn't. "And I'll die with you." And here it was, he's watching Christ get beaten. And was he willing to die with him? No, he wasn't. "Well, I'll tell you what, brother, if they walk in here with guns right now, I'd die rather than deny Christ." Well, I sure hope so. I sure hope that's what I would choose. That's what Peter said he was going to do. But it didn't happen that way. And he denied the Lord. Don't deny Jesus. He was afraid. It's an amazing thing what fear can cause you to do. It can, watch me, cause you to become cowardly. Cowardly. You know what Jesus said you're to be? A bright light for him. You know what you're to be? Salt of the earth. You know what a lot of times we're not what he told us to be? We get scared. We get scared of the world. We get intimidated. Come on now. Y'all looking really spiritual right now. But I know I'm not the only one that sometimes gets scared, has fear about staying true to identifying with Christ. And here, he let his fear turn him away from taking his stand. Matthew 26, 75. Next thought. We're moving quickly. Stay with me. I'll finish in 14 minutes. Y'all all right with that? 9 o'clock. Can we handle? Everybody good? I said be determined not to deny Jesus. Don't be so proud that you think you're incapable of denying Jesus. Know that the devil wants you to deny Jesus. Don't deny Jesus. But listen to me. If you deny Jesus, be sorry that you denied Jesus. And be willing to repent of denying Jesus. Everybody tracking? 75, please notice. "And Peter, remember the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out," notice please, "and wept bitterly."
Go to Luke 22, please. Luke 22. I'm glad for the Bible. I'm glad the Bible includes examples for us to learn from that are not always pretty, but they're always important. And in Matthew chapter 22, we'll pick it up in verse 61. Notice here, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Now watch me, young people. At this point, Jesus was already been beaten. Hey, at this point, he's already been punched and slapped and beaten and spit upon. And the one who said, I'll die with you, I'll go to prison with you, the one who denied him in the moment, Peter, notice, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Hey, watch this. They made eye contact and looked. In the crowd right now, I'm looking, well, how did that happen, Brother Child? How, with all that was going on, hey, watch, right now, you know what I'm doing? I'm making eye contact. You know what Jesus did? He looked. And he made eye contact. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Bitterly. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Young people, the sorrow of the world is when you're sorry that you got caught. Cain said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. But a godly sorrow, watch me, it worketh repentance. It means this, you're sorry for what you've done, and you want it to be made right between you and the Lord. Repentance is a change of mind, and it's a change of heart that, watch me, it'll result in a change of direction. But Charlie, I never planned to deny him. I never thought it could happen. But in my heart, I know I've denied the Lord. Brother Russo, there can be people sitting here tonight, Bible on lap, sitting here, looking at me preach. And on the outside, it all looks well. But on the inside, you know, there's been a denial. If that's the case, be broken about your sin. It will leave you weeping, but it can be made right. You say, well, how could that be? Because if you deny Jesus, know that Jesus still loves you. Please go to the book of Mark, chapter 16. If you deny Jesus, know that Jesus still loves you. Mark 16. And when the Sabbath was passed, so we're fast forwarding,
to post-crucifixion. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. It's an angel. And he saith unto them, "Be not afraid, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples." And then two of the sweetest words in the Word of God. Young people, two of the sweetest words in the Word of God. Go tell the disciples. Hey, listen. And Peter. He's not going to want to see me. I saw him look at me. He wasn't on the outside out there at the palace. But I know that he knew. I said I wouldn't deny him. I said I'd go to prison with him. I said I'd die before deny. And some little girls said boo, and I cowardly denied my Lord and Savior. I'm done. He's not going to want to see me. And that angel said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." That angel was not coming up with that message on his own. Are you listening? That angel was just a mailman. There was a message from the Lord that said, "Make sure Peter knows I still want him. I still love him. I'm not done with him. Tell Peter." Listen, you ought to be broken. It ought to be crushing when you think about the love of the Lord and know you've denied him. But don't you forget that we serve a loving Lord Jesus. And when I fail the Lord, he still never fails me. He's a loving Lord. He's a gracious Lord. He's a wonderful Lord. And Peter. Now that's tough. Because when you deny, watch me, look at me, I'm on the home stretch. When you deny, here's what comes: discouragement. 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 John 21, please. Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. The angel said, "Tell the disciples and Peter." John 21. "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself." This is how it happened. "There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing." There's nothing wrong with fishing. Maybe he was just hungry. "But you do remember that what the Lord had told him to do way back at the very beginning was, you're going to leave everything. Instead of fishing for food, you're going to be fishing for men." And here it is, he says, "I go a fishing." I don't want to read more into the story, but it could be It could be he figured at this point, what else am I going to do? I go a-fishing. And the Lord showed up. And if you know this story, they come and the Lord had made them breakfast here. 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter. So they're all sitting around the fire. Now watch me. There's 11 of them there. And they're all just kind of sitting around and they're with the Lord. But you know, hey, listen, you know Peter hadn't forgotten. Sure. And the Lord said, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Was he referencing the fish? Was he referencing doing what he was going to do instead of the will of God? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him, the what time? Third time. Talk to me, the what time? Third time. Here comes third time. Simon. Son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. You all know why he was grieved. He made the connection. Three times I deny. And now three times he's calling me out and asking whether I love him. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time. I don't think he was bothered by the question. I just think he's bothered by the fact that he knew what was going on. But watch me now. Instead of just seeing it as a negative, Peter needed to see it as a positive. Because whereas the Lord had allowed, where Peter had denied three times, there's a certain amount of this. Now the Lord's given him an opportunity three times publicly to state and restate his love for the Lord. Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. It's 8:59. I need overtime. I need 6 minutes. Are y'all okay? I didn't mean to go into overtime, but sometimes games do that. And this is no game, but we're going to go 5 more minutes. Don't get mad. Don't get bitter. And I did not intentionally go into overtime. I remember in junior high, I went to Camp Boulder. I was going to live for the Lord. And now look at me. I'm the person. I never intended to happen, but I painted myself into the corner by doing what I was doing, and now there's no escape. I'm the person who looks here tonight like I've got it all together, but in my heart, I know I don't. And Brother Todd, I'll just flat out tell you, I'm not going to that altar tonight and being a hypocrite and going to say I'm going to do something that I know I said a long time ago and try to have God do something with me again. Jesus gave Peter an opportunity to say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But you know what the devil does? He's the accuser of the brethren. And here's what he tells you. There's no hope for you. You are not going to be able to stand for the Lord. You've already denied, so it's too late. God's done with you. God's tired of hearing you say, I'm sorry. You've messed up in a way that God's not going to fix up. That's what the devil will do. He'll accuse. But if you deny Jesus, like Peter did, watch me, reaffirm and restate your love for Jesus. Florey Evans, the revival in Wales, Evan Roberts was the one known for it. But Florey Evans was an 18-year-old young lady. And girls, here's what she stood and said. I love Jesus Christ with all my heart. And she said it in such a way that it sparked a fire in the country of Wales. It was just in that one meeting, in that one moment. A meeting just very similar to this with some young people. And she said, I love Jesus Christ with all my heart. And it was like a match that started revival that spread and throughout the whole country of Wales and in Europe and made a major impact. You know what you need to be? The person tonight who, even if you've denied the Lord, because of the love of Christ, you're going to believe the promise of God. And just like Peter said to the Lord, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You know, there was maybe, watch me, there was maybe somebody there that could have been judgmental about Peter stating that. Well, if you love them, why'd you deny them? Can I encourage you tonight, don't be the Pharisee. Amen. That if somebody, hey, come on, y'all, the Baptists, we have some Phariseeism in us. Well, if he loved him, why did he deny him in the first place? Brother, that's a wrong spirit. If somebody messed up, I'm glad when Jesus fixes them up. And if somebody wants to reestate and reaffirm their love and be restored by the grace of God, I just want you to know, whoever it is, number one, the Lord's on your side. Number two, I'm on your side. And I would dare suggest the vast majority of this crowd would not look down a Pharisaical nose at you, but they would spiritually clap in their hearts for seeing you restate, reaffirm, and be restored to a love for Christ. Amen and amen. Last thought. I won't go into second overtime. John 21, are you there? Everybody look at me. Everybody look at me. Watch me. Now watch. Watch me now. Watch. Hey, watch. You're in John 21, right? Watch. In a lot of your Bibles, like I'm going to do, watch this. Turn the page. Somebody tell me, what was that all about? We're in the book of Acts. We're in the book of Acts. We just turned the page. We just went from Peter being grieved, and in the book of Acts, you know what we're going to see? Peter being used. Brother, let me just tell you what I said. I said Peter being used. I'm saying in Acts 2, Acts 1, Jesus said, last words, hey, you should be witnesses. You're going to have the power of God. Acts 2, the praying. Brother Russo, hey, they're praying. And they're there. And they're praying. And you know what? The Holy Spirit comes. And the Holy Spirit didn't go down the row and fill everybody, but then skip over Peter. Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? Come on now. I'm down to the last minute. You got to hear what I'm saying. I'm saying Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. And watch me. Peter preached Pentecost. And watch me. 3,000 people got saved. And watch me now. Hey, Peter lived for the Lord. And watch me now. We don't see again in the Word of God where he ever denied Christ again. And Peter went to prison for the Lord. And church history says he was crucified upside down. Did you hear what I just said? What he was afraid of in the beginning. Prison. See, he thought prison and dying wouldn't be a big deal. Then he was looking at it straight in the eye and he denied. But then the Lord gave him another chance. So young people, are you listening to me? And he got to have his life used by God. And then he did go to prison. And then he was crucified. He died for Christ. He denied in the moment. But then he did the will of God. And I'm saying, we've got a gracious God. We've got a merciful God. Hey, we've got a patient God. We've got a long-suffering God. We've got a loving God. And I'm telling you tonight, at 15 or 17 or 20 years old, God's not done with you. You're just getting started. You say, but I denied. Hey, there's a whole lot of us in this room. And I would dare suggest all of us in this room, a little bit older than you, that could take you back to a time where sadly we denied the Lord in some way. But I'm glad. Listen, I'm glad I serve a loving, merciful, patient Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm serving God tonight. Not because I deserve it. Not because I've been so wonderful. But listen, when I fell down, He picked me up again. And I'm living for Jesus, young people. And I'm loving for Jesus. And someday, I'm going to get to see Him face to face. And I have no regret about having served the Lord. I only regret that I haven't served Him better. Be determined. Don't get proud. If you deny, be broken. Don't forget He loves you. Reaffirm, restate, I love Him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And live your life for Christ. And let your life be used. Would you play Amazing Grace? Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Young people, look at this. That saved. Hey, come on, look at me. You say, what are you doing? You're pointing to yourself. Exactly right. That saved a wretch like me. I'm the wretch in the psalm. And it's an amazing grace. And it's sweet. And if you're not saved, you can get saved right now. And if you are saved, you can get right now. You just got to come to the Lord. Sister, play. Please. Thank you, Jim. Let's stand. I went longer twice than what I intentioned. Thanks for your patience. If God spoke to you, come on down here and talk to the Lord. Maybe you just want to thank Him for His grace in saving your soul. Maybe you want to say, Lord, by your grace, I'm standing. I don't want to be proud. I don't want to have to learn the hard way. Lord, I don't want to deny you. If in your heart, in whatever form or fashion, there's been cowardice, there's been a choosing of the world, the flesh, the devil, over the will of God, why don't you reaffirm? Repent, but then reaffirm. Restate.